You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The Around the NFL Podcast wants you to prove it.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by Head & Shoulders. My name is Dan Hansis, joined by a room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler to my left, Greg Rosenthal to my right. Greg Rosenthal.
The G-Man!
It's Thanksgiving night. It's wild here. We've never had a Thanksgiving night mini podcast before.
A very special edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. Thanksgiving night in Culver City. It doesn't get any more wild. Lindsay Fulton behind the glass, Smasher behind the glass. What a party. Yes, we have three games to talk about. We haven't done this before, Mark, have we?
You have to explain who Smasher is. He's a special individual who we treasure.
Yeah, Smasher is my buddy, my wife's friend's boyfriend that I know. I don't want to really get into details, but his name is Smasher, and he's a good dude.
Who does he hang with? Just give us vaguely who he hangs with.
I shouldn't say.
Okay.
It's one
he
of those.
He hangs with a major rock contingent.
It's one of, yeah, you people piece it together.
I feel much better because it literally, until you just explained that, I thought Smasher was a guy who works, you know, some tech behind the glass that I wasn't familiar with from before.
For people from across the sea, we're in Los Angeles. We hang with people of importance. Smasher is one of them.
Greg, that does show a growing disconnect with people behind the glass that you thought that he might have been someone that's been working.
It would have been someone who just had popped in a couple times, you know, happens to be here at the night helping out Fulton. I don't know.
Smasher's my friend. Leave me alone. All right. Here we go. This is the Thanksgiving show. There's already a weird energy about it.
Well, because I think, listen, it's Thanksgiving. It's 9
Mark,
at night.
Mark's got a weird energy.
Yeah, I know. Like, my family life is on the rocks at the moment. Let's just get down to covering the three football games that graced our human presence.
All right. There were three games to play, and that's how we're going to break it down. We're going to go through each of the games. Minnesota-Detroit, LA-Dallas, and then, of course, Giants-Z-Men, Redskins. And then you'll hear us again on Sunday. We'll break down the rest of week 12. But this is how we're going to start. Let's just go through it. There's no reason to, like, pussyfoot here, right?
No, I think just going to the first game is a normal way to approach things.
Lindsay, should we just go to the first game?
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's no reason to pussyfoot. Let's go to the first game.
Keenum, shotgun snap comes chest high. Pressure coming. Keenum hit as he throws towards the end zone. Rudolph with the catch. Touchdown. Case Keenum took a shot but floated it into the outstretched arms of his tight end, Kyle Rudolph. 22-yard touchdown, and the Vikings lead it 19-3.
Oh, my goodness. Case Keenum is for real. He threw two touchdowns, ran for another, and the Minnesota Vikings built up a double-digit lead, then coasted To a 30. Well, coasted is strong.
Coasted is strong.
Yeah. Very strong.
Yeah.
There were moments.
There were definitely moments. They jumped to a big lead and held on. I'm going to say held on. I'm going to move
that
coasted
works.
To held on to 30-23 win over the Lions, Greg Rosenthal. A game that all but ices the NFC North. And once again, a big road win and a big spot. The Vikings are for real.
They are. They're one of the best teams in the league. And Case Keenum, I believe, played two of his best three games of the entire season the last 2 weeks. The moment that the Teddy Bridgewater activation happens, the moment the schedule turns more important with a big NFC matchup last week against the Rams, with a big division matchup this week on a short week, Case Keenum played better. His pocket movement, being able to get away from pressure for this game, not saying for the rest of the season, but for this game, Keenum, not Matthew Stafford, made more plays after pressure was on him consistently. Stafford was the guy who had a couple misses, had a couple hits, and Keenum was a big part of the reason they won.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, Stafford dealt with deficits of 13-0, 20-3, 27-10, and still, in Lions fashion, brought this team to the brink of a near victory. Because it's all on Matthew Stafford if you're the Detroit Lions. It's their zero run game. And you can't count on a faceless defense to do much for you.
No.
But it was not enough. Detroit, this time around, like, here's the thing with Case Keenum. You can say he's not spectacular. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to do what Tom Brady does. He's not going to be Deshaun Watson. But he does not turn the ball over. He's safe with the ball. This season in particular, he has been extremely good in terms of seeing the field, seeing his receivers. Adam Thielen, again, did Adam Thielen things. Stephon Diggs did what he needed to do. They got enough from the running game coming right out of the half. They charged down the field with a – they used the run entirely.
The four-play drive.
That one four-play drive, which I think put this game out of hand. And Detroit hung around to some degree. The way that the Lions do, in a way, if you're trying to cover the game, is dramatic enough to keep you hanging on. But the Vikings, they were too much to deal with.
I think Case – and I think Wes brought it up last week – which I totally agree with, that Keenum is Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2015. But it's to a greater level, because that Fitzpatrick Jets season was special, but there were ebbs and flows to that season. Keenum has been a very strong quarterback start to finish. And if Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker made that engine go for the Jets that season, you have Thielen and Diggs here. And Keenum just deserves all the credit in the world for what he's been able to do. And then the other side, here's the thing. Yeah, Stafford almost brought the Lions back. But also, when you're against actual teams, real contenders, you can't go to sleep for two and a half quarters. You have to score. You have to be on top. You have to be aggressive. And when you try to pull that comeback stuff against a real team, it just doesn't work.
But they did have the ball down four in the fourth quarter with a chance to go do it. And
couldn't get it done.
No, they
ran out of gas.
They stopped on that drive. I can think of a couple different drives, but one of the drives ended partially because Xavier Rhodes made a really good open field tackle on second down. Then they didn't pick up the third down. That's also how a drive in the first half ended, where they throw a 6-yard pass on 3rd and 7 and Rhodes gets them to the ground. And that's one of the things that I think's under the radar with this Vikings team. Yeah, Keenum's great and the skill players are great. This defense has been together so long, they do the little things like tackling. And the Lions missed tackles all over the place in this game. And you kind of look at the difference between the two on a week-to-week basis, and that's one of them. I mean, it's just they couldn't keep drives going. And a chance – they did have a chance. I mean, Stafford said it, like, at the end of the game. Yeah, I know we'd like to start fast, but every quarter matters. In the end, we had the ball with the chance to go win.
I also thought – and, you know, listen, we don't get on the refs too much on this podcast, but – I thought that the zebras in this game, this was one of the worst officiated games that I've seen. If you're a Vikings fan, you have a reason to be upset. Case Keenum called for taunting after he was sacked.
That was a bad call.
And he was sitting on the ground, just kneeling the way that Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl against the Giants. Just legs extended on the ground, casually flips the ball and called for taunting. The Lions were not called for a pass interference call that would have put this game completely out of hand. Had they should have been, rightfully, the Vikings would have gotten a field goal or a touchdown.
That one I didn't have as big a problem. If I had a big problem because there was a really bad throw by Keenum and a lot of times.
I just thought, I think the Lions, like, I think the Vikings were flagged somewhat like 15 times in this game. Like, there was something very odd going on with the calls in this game.
And now the Lions dropped to 6-5, 2-4 at home, by the way. You got to defend.
They're just short on too many areas.
Right. How about Everson Griffin, by the way, having his son was born hours before this game started, has two sacks.
Yes,
and he
on the
lifted his
not the
lifted his jersey and said, I don't even know what my son's name is. He didn't even
Can you help me name
son.
It?
Yeah, he was asking for names.
So, you know, not the only father, you know, having to give up some fatherly responsibilities to go work in football.
Yes, well, I don't know if he's going to face the ramifications that I will.
You're getting
week,
some heat at home.
Getting a little heat,
his
like
daddy
this has
ever
been
coming back.
That sound drop could not be more relevant than it is now.
What I was trying to say, Greg, is that
2-4
at home. Mm. You got to defend the Lions, Dan.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know.
Is anyone even claiming there's such a thing?
They're a fine team. Stafford's a top 8 quarterback.
Fine feels strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think fine in the 9-7 sense. They have a...
Oh, not like they're a fine team.
No.
Like
they're fine.
Team.
Their defense is nondescript at this point. Zigansa is having a bad season. I don't need to hear about Stafford doing it all on his own again, though, because he's got Golden Tate. He's got Marvin Jones, who's incredible. I mean, he is having a great season. Ebron, they've got enough weapons, but they don't have a running game.
Well, okay, so he certainly has weapons in the passing game.
That's it.
But you
That's
look
it.
at you
That's
look
not
at
enough
what
to
Case
win.
Keenum has. You look at what Drew Brees has, what Cam Newton has
Absolutely.
Right now, and it's like when you have a lead and control it on the ground. That's what the Lions do not ever have around Stafford, and it dates back years and years, and it hampers his career.
It does, and we have to, before we move on, give our annual, not annual, but every show we give a shout-out to Pat Shurmur. So once again, Pat Shurmur. What a job.
Nice job,
Can you
Patty.
Imagine
Offensive
if,
line
if Pat Shurmur were to be elevated to the level of head coach, what kind of success he might have with the team, it would be glorious to watch.
8-8, 9-7, 7-9 fired. That's mean. I don't know what he would do.
I mean, we have some track record. It didn't go great.
Well,
the Vikings 9-2. This has been a bit of a gauntlet that they've aced so far. Now they go to Atlanta in week 13, and the Lions go to Baltimore at 6-5, and basically have to find a way to win almost every game from here on out. It's a tough spot for the Lions. Oh, one more thing. Usually, I think they're silly. These little trophies that the broadcast
hang out.
Yeah,
you like the golden football, maybe.
The golden turkey.
It's not even whatever it is, the trophy. I don't care. I just felt good for Case Keenum.
Yes, I did too.
On national television.
I'm with you.
Playing the best football of his life.
I mean, that was probably the best game of his. Him,
hanging with Aaron
great.
Andrews.
And he's hanging with EA, and he's holding the trophy. And it's like, nice job by you,
it's
Case Keenum.
It's a long way from the episode 3 of All or Nothing last year when he got benched and really seemed to be a guy who had lost all his confidence. And now here he is. He's a household.
I don't trust anyone that does not get behind Case Keenum in his journey right now.
You heard it here, people. Trust Case Keenum or else. All right, let's take a break here. I want to tell you about a great new podcast called Outside the Box. If you're a maker, an innovator, or even just a consumer who wants to peek behind the curtain of some of the world's greatest organizations, you'll love it. The latest episode, which is available right now, features former NFL commissioner
Paul Tagliabue.
Bad job, Greg. You had the headset off. You could have said something
I helped
funny.
You out.
Yeah, but you. There's a bit working here.
Okay,
Greg
sorry.
Gives some bits every once
okay.
in a while. Anyway, yeah, tags. He's talking about the massive innovations both on and off the field.
Taggy!
That helped football become America's most popular sport. He also talks about how the opportunities and challenges the league has faced are similar to those faced by businesses of all types. Maybe even talks about our podcast. It's kind of a rags-to-riches story itself.
Doubt that.
Anyway, listen on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and we'll try to get our podcast on. We're plugging a podcast that's on Spotify. We're not even on Spotify. Get us on Spotify, NFL. Anyway. Or wherever you get your podcasts. Outside the Box, what a show. Let's move on.
Shotgun snap. Dangerous throw. Anticipated picked off. Desmond King one-on-one against the quarterback. Beats Prescott inside. Bosa trailing as a blocker. And King is off to the races with an escort. He'll sprint it all the way back 88 yards into the end zone. Touchdown. Desmond King's first pick is a pick six. And the dagger for the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. 28-6 Chargers.
Desmond King returned an interception 90 yards for a touchdown that basically ended the game in Big D, and Phillip Rivers threw for 434 yards, and three touchdowns as the Dallas Cowboys fade into oblivion. A 28-6 loss of the Chargers. Cruz, what a big win, Mark, for the Los Angeles Chargers. All of a sudden, 5-6, some statement victories here, and they basically, in a game we talked about heading into this game, was a loser goes home type match. Chargers aren't going nowhere.
No, they're
not. Chargers win!
And we talked. That's exactly right. We talked about the winner of this game having new life and the loser having to deal with their own mistakes accrued over the course of a season. The Chargers came out into this game. They abandoned the run right from the start. They must have said, what we feel we can do with Keenan Allen and Travis Benjamin is attack the Dallas secondary. Their first three drives went for 70, 89, and 66 yards, but generated only 3 points. At that point, you change the course. They did not. They kept attacking, and they found a way over the course of the game to completely dominate Dallas that I cannot figure out. You have Tyron Smith back. You don't have Ezekiel Elliott. That's the one guy missing. And the Dallas offense has generated, 24 points, I think, in three games? It's abysmal.
It's the lowest total over three games in the history of the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't need to hear every Cowboys fan or, you know, all the armchair analysis after this game or even after the season that, okay, you know, they went down because, you know, when Zeke went down, it was over. This is more than Zeke. First of all, they've run the ball fairly well the last couple weeks. They don't have a vertical passing game. They don't have a passing game really at all that they can rely on. In the first half, Dak Prescott did not throw a ball that went more than 8 yards. Like, he didn't even try to throw a ball. And I don't know what it is, whether it's the protection has him kind of, you know, looking downfield, whether the scheme is stale. Beasley and Dez is not coming up with those 50-50 balls
this year.
Well, and they face the good defense.
He's not a number one wide receiver.
Under the radar, the Chargers' defense has been better than their offense for the whole season, and now the offense is starting to catch up, and they're a tough team to deal with.
The Cowboys have lost three straight games by at least 20 points. That has not happened since 2004.
The second half of those games, I think it's 74-6. 74-6.
Wasn't there some sort of a lock-off in this game, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm. Yes, there was. Well, not here, not in this studio. You gotta give me the what I deserve.
That's a good.
You tried to do what I tried to do
a
week ago.
Connie locked
that
it up.
That lock was for Connie Fox. Yep.
Yeah, Connie locked
it up.
Way
to go, Connie. She's had a nice
Connie.
History.
Good for her on her 18th piece of turkey right now, and probably I would gather, knowing Connie, her 75th drink.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, and I give her credit for that.
Breaking news.
But I would say she's probably on her 75th drink.
Shots fired.
She's locked up a game. Good for her.
It's midnight in Philadelphia. It's midnight in Philadelphia where she is.
Breaking news, Lindsay. Connie Fox, an out-of-control party animal. No, what I was going to say is, yeah, I butchered a lock-off, and this was the logic of this failed lock-off. That Dak Prescott, hey, listen, this isn't rocket science. This isn't like old dumbass Dan up to his old tricks.
Right, right.
No, Dan was saying Tyron Smith's back. Alfred Morris looked good last week. Dak Prescott is a star, in my opinion, and they're at home in a game they need to win. That's what I saw, and you could
that
you
makes
could,
sense.
You could check
logic
off.
Was with you.
Well, it was with Connie too.
They were.
It was both of you.
I'm saying that was my logic,
right.
And I stand by that logic going into this game. So you just don't know, and all I could say is, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to throw, you know, dirt on Dak Prescott, but Dak, and I know you don't have a number one wide receiver, and I love Dez. He's had a nice career, but Dak.
We talk about Dez like he's 35. What is he?
He's older than he is.
My
point is that I was expecting Dak to win a game last week, this week, and maybe he's not there yet. Maybe he'll never get there. But I think a lot of people thought heading into the season he was already kind of there. He was that type of special quarterback.
I think he kind of was there for most of the season.
Well, he's not there right now, no, at least not in November of 2017.
No, and the thing was, this is three straight struggle games for this offense. So it's not just last week. It's a trend. It's not just Zeke. It's Dez. It's Dak. It's Cole Beasley. It's the whole pack. It's the coaching staff. Like, when we give Shurmur and the offensive line credit in Minnesota, I think you have to also, you know, get on the people around Dak Prescott too. But he's not handling it well. And I think he started to see the rush a little bit more and started reacting to the rush a little more.
And listen, a week ago against the Eagles, Luke Elliott, their kicker, gets knocked out. And
Jakey.
The Eagles,
old Jake Elliott.
Jake Elliott. The Eagles come out of there with a wipeout. This week, Nick Novak misses a big chunk of the game. They've got jabronis. The Chargers had to go for it on fourth and short, fourth and long, like as an offense that does not have a complete scoring attack, and they still come out of here with a wipeout. That's 2 weeks. That is a major disadvantage if your opponent's kicker is removed. 2 weeks in a row that happens in Dallas's favor, and they get destroyed both times.
They were lucky
times.
That this game was as close as it
this
was.
This is not a playoff
game. They gave up 515 yards. I mean, the defense was a no-show.
It was a no-show by the
Cowboys.
It
was shocking.
And it should be mentioned that Zach Martin, who's an all-pro guard, he left the game with a concussion in the first half. So there's still – that line is kind of – it's not all there right now. But I honestly can't say it enough. I think there may be a time where Dak Prescott can pick up his team the way a Russell Wilson can, but I think he's not there yet. Or maybe he won't be there ever. But right
he's
now –
He's not. Like, this is what – we expect. This is what happens to every quarterback. This is what happens to Aaron Rodgers in the middle of basically every season over the last couple seasons where you have a couple plays. It's how Dak...
You're letting him off the hook. Is that what you're
saying?
I'm saying it's ups and downs. This is what's happened to every quarterback ever, essentially. And Dak has had an incredible start to his career, and there's a lot of issues around him. And you're right. He's not able to lift the team up by himself. I'm just saying that's basically happened with every quarterback in history, and he was overdue to have some speed bumps, and now we've hit it.
I think you're absolutely right, but I would put myself in the category of being a little surprised by the not able to lift up the team to the extent that he's not been able to. I mean, it's like the offense fell off a cliff, and it's only because you're missing your running back at this point.
Dez Bryant is 29 years old, but he's an issue for the team. So they need to decide whatever. I don't know what
it's guaranteed. Look at Larry Fitzgerald.
He's an issue.
Dez Bryant talks like he's Larry Fitzgerald. So where are you?
Your key players are Jason Witten and Dez Bryant, who are well past.
I'm not that upset about it.
Are well past where they should be. And then your defense had a no-show. I mean, Hunter Henry, I love watching this guy play. He's making huge plays down the field. Keenan Allen. Phillip Rivers is throwing darts.
I have a proposal, though.
What do you got?
Cowboys, Lions, Thanksgiving tradition. That's fine. How about a new tradition?
I like this.
Phil Rivers plays on Thanksgiving every year.
This might be his last season.
I think
he's like 37.
It would be worth it. And if he changes team, then the team that he goes to plays on Thanksgiving. It's worth it just to have that picture. Happy Thanksgiving from the Rivers family. And you got all
so
eight
many Rivers.
Kids.
So many.
You got the kid. And you know what else you got?
Too many.
You got a 28-6 score in the fourth quarter. And they pick up a 3rd-and-5. And you got Phillip Rivers pumping his fist maniacally like he's Tiger Woods just winning the Masters because he picked up a 3rd-and-5 with 3 minutes.
Greg is up out of his seat.
That's what we need on the holidays.
Thanksgiving night, even.
Or Rivers.
I tweeted today that Phillip Rivers, 30 years from now, and everyone makes fun of him. Oh, you have 8 kids. What a joke. Well, by the way, 30 years from now, he's going to be overlooking the sea with about 122 grandchildren surrounding him.
Right.
I think he's figured it out. Well, he's going to be surrounded by love for the rest of his life.
Counterpoint.
I kind of think it's kind of cool.
Counterpoint. As all the men in this room right now, Smasher behind the glass can contend.
Smasher is the central figure of wisdom, so I'm waiting for the weigh-in.
Well, we're all in the same boat. We all have 2 kids.
Yeah.
You know, you could be surrounded by 2 kids in the grand. Let's calm down. Let's shut it down at 8. There's a lot of people in this world. And I know the Rivers family can afford to take care of all these kids.
That's the difference.
But let's just, you know, let's enjoy this hive that we've got.
All I'd say is if you're Phillip Rivers, you have multi-millions of dollars, that you are not in there dealing with the grit of raising eight kids. Yes.
Let's keep happening gracefully. Keep winning. Keep winning, Chargers, because your schedule is doable, and AFC team.
They're my AFC Super Bowl team, and I'm you know, all these people that came at me laughing in September 15th. Oh, laugh, 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 giggle. Sit down!
Wait a second. You were laughing at yourself. You were out on that pick by September 9th.
I'm back in on my own pick. I know, and everyone who opposed me? Watch your bodies burn. Your body is going to burn.
Gosh, they were 0-4. If they hadn't blown that Jaguars game like they did,
I know.
Right. 6-5.
Okay,
right,
sorry.
We got to move on.
We got to move on.
But just yes.
We got to move on to the most important contest.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Chargers are 5-6, which is still bad, but it is the AFC. And they got your Browns next week. Let's get to 6-6. The Redskins, which is a coin flip, at the Chiefs, at the Jets, home to Raiders. That's how they close out their season.
That's
Nine wins is doable.
That's a great schedule because you don't
not
have
great.
It is great. You don't play You don't play one playoff. You don't play one team that's playing well. You play a couple middle of the pack teams. If you can't beat the Chiefs and Redskins, you're probably not a playoff team.
Half the time, the Chargers aren't playing well.
That's
so
fair.
Let's see. They got to get out of your own way.
Win four of those games because it's not a hard ask. It's not an easy ask either.
No,
it's not an impossible ask. Go four and one.
It's also not our privilege to ask. Please do what you will do.
Let's move on.
Second and 8. Play action. Ton of time. To the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown.
Kirk Cousins threw a pick 6, but guess what? He also threw 2 touchdowns, including the game-sealing throw in the fourth quarter to Josh Doctson, a 20-10 win over the New York Giants. The Redskins keep their faint playoff hopes alive. They're now 5-6. The Giants, of course, long ago, Mark, stopped being a playoff contender. They're 2-9. So here's this game. Good job, Redskins. No lollipops are being handed out.
No.
Found a way to beat the Giants. By the way, it was 10-10 late in this game. I'm not going to go crazy. However, you're still the DNA, the bones of a team that can make a run here, don't you think?
What, the Redskins? In the NFC, it's tight because, like, it's such a top-heavy conference. In the AFC,
They don't have 7 losses yet. That's
no, they don't. I would adore I'd adore them in the AFC. In the NFC, it's tough. This game was rough. This was a game where 20 minutes into this affair, the Redskins had 3 yards rushing. And
it was a bad first
at
half.
At halftime, Eli Manning had 60 yards passing, and I'm sitting there in my house asking, why should I be fawning over this contest? It was a quintessential ugly football game. But the Redskins win these type of games.
Nobody
the quintessential Giants-Redskins game.
Yes, it was.
Collinsworth made the point that he feels like every Giants-Redskins game has been like, and it's true. Like, they're always one on punt returns. It reminded me a lot of the Week 17 game, which is the last year, which is the game that made me jump off the Kirk Cousins bandwagon, had one of his worst games of his career, lost, I think, 16-10, very similar game in Washington. This time, though, he's got a little more fight to him in terms of when the pass rush gets on him, he's making plays against pressure. And they're starting to run the ball. P. Ryan has looked pretty good the last 3 weeks or so, and so at least they have a running game, which they didn't early in the year.
This was a game that forced me to ask, what am I doing with my adulthood? But it waged on, and
you don't have to love every game.
No, I know, but
a result
occurred in the end, and
yes.
I'm happy for Washington on some level.
And, you know, again, I'm not going to go crazy about the Redskins finding a way in this game. It was a little bit alarming, actually.
They doubled them up in total yardage.
Total yardage a little more than me. I mean, I saw a 10-10 game, and both teams kind of, you know, battling it out down the stretch, and Eli Manning, you take away Odell Beckham, and this is a compromised Eli Manning at age 37 already, or 36.
And Sterling Shepard and Brandon Marshall.
Let me finish the
okay.
points that I'm beginning, okay? And then you take Odell Beckham out, you take Sterling Shepard out, who, by the way, was a guy that was shaping up as a guy that could be a nice little number one down the stretch of meaningless football. What's left? What's left? So it's like...
No, 0 running game, so very little's left.
If you're a team, the Redskins, you need to win this game. So I'm not going to give them too much credit, but at the same time, it's like, this is easy pickings, and it makes you wonder...
It is easy.
How broken are the Chiefs that they weren't able to get business last week?
I mean, the Giants had 1 touchdown against the Chiefs. They had no touchdowns tonight. Only Janoris Jenkins scored a touchdown. So, I mean, that's why I don't... The Redskins offense should have not made as many mistakes. I mean, that sequence where... they lined up to punt the ball on 4th-and-1. Then Gruden decided to change his mind, I guess, because the crowd was booing him. So he took a timeout. And then he didn't get the play in fast enough, so they took a delay of game. I mean, this stuff happens to Washington all the time. They shoot themselves in the foot. That said, the defense gave up 7 first downs. The Giants didn't have a first down in the entire second half until a garbage time drive where I think they got 1. And Eli Manning doesn't have his weapons, but he's also just taking some sacks on some plays where you got to get the ball out. And there was a third down when they still had a chance in this game where he just threw a ball into a wide open throw. No one's in his face at all. And he threw a ball into a ground. And Collinsworth was kind of dumbfounded. This is one of the worst Eli Manning games we've seen.
It was a strange game. One guy that we never talk about, because he's not Lawrence Taylor, but Ryan Kerrigan, I feel like every time I watch a Redskins game, he shows up. Yeah, he's having a great season.
He's having a great season.
2 sacks tonight. He just seems to always be around the quarterback, and he's a big part of their defense. And I would say the one thing about the Redskins, and I'm not saying tonight is the quintessential example of that, but Scott McLuhan, I'll say this again, that he brought some pieces to this team, and when they show up, it's the pieces he brought.
Is Scott McLuhan your dad?
I just think that Scott McLuhan, I kind of love this guy. I think he is a great talent evaluator. They got flushed out. I understand he got flushed out of this team, and for reasons they found reasonable. But his pieces are what make the Redskins who they are. Now they have to
go five and six.
Listen, it's not a perfect team. He did not get 5 years to build this team either. But they are a tough football team. They've been that week after week, no matter win or lose. They've been a rigorous, strange team, and he is the reason they are
one of the better cornerback trios in the league. When Kendall Fuller is having a great season as a slot corner, and then you have Norman and Breland on the outside. I think those are all guys McLuhan brought in. It's a nice group.
One other player that I think, Josh Doctson, who a lot of people kind of forgot about him.
He's on the rise.
Maybe labeled him as like a Laquan Treadwell type first round bust in the 2016 draft. No. Doctson's making plays every week. He set up one score with a pass interference, had the game winning touchdown. He is making plays now week after week, and the Terrell Pryor signing was a bust.
But they needed
somebody else to step up, and Doctson became that
guy. You're absolutely right. Doctson gives you some things that you would have wanted from Terrell Pryor. They're not the exact same player, but
Doctson's better.
I think he is, and he's younger, and they have him under long-term contract. Pryor's out the door.
I'm not sure what's stopped him other than injuries, and I guess it probably is just injuries. But when you watch him, the way he moves and the way he can get deep balls, I mean, he's got the skill set to be a top 10 type of
They miss Chris Thompson, though. That's
Here is the Redskins' schedule going forward at Cowboys, which, by the way, all of a sudden doesn't look so scary.
That's on Thursday night next week, so we're getting these two teams in primetime again.
At Chargers, so we get to see the Chargers. That'll be a good game. Home to Cardinals, home to Broncos, at Giants. So the road there
is also... That's a great schedule.
That gets you to 9 or 10 wins if you just take care of some business.
Wow! Could they be the team for the third... Could the Redskins take the fork out of their back for what I believe would be the third time?
I don't know.
If I had to guess...
They will.
The minute you get excited about them, they're going to break your heart.
Right.
That's the one thing I
If I had to guess, because we played it fairly safe with the forks this year, they would probably be the team, if I looked at the fork teams that we've done, that would have the best chance, just because I think they're a decent team.
Oh, can we fork the Cowboys?
Sure.
It's Thanksgiving.
Is it too late? Is it too late?
No.
Stick a fork in them.
Oh!
The deadline is after Thanksgiving. Get the Cowboys out of here.
Okay.
And I think we accidentally forgot that we had forked the Cardinals.
We did that last year.
They're out. No.
So I believe that gives us 15 forks, which I love to get to 16. I'd love to get half the league, but we got 15 this year. The Reds,
minorly respectable on our part.
Redskins are going to bang us, though, and I like it. There's a lot of needy organizations in the D.C. area, so that's not a bad thing. Hey, they say in life there are no guarantees. They say there's no sure thing. Well, I'm here to tell you there might be just one exception. In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things, and they did it with common sense. That meant adding function, never frills, and making tools that stood the test of time. 93 years later, Husky is still making quality-crafted, durable...
Halloween buckets?
Buckets. Tools. And Husky stands by their hand tools for life. So they gave them a lifetime warranty, not on, like the Husky Ratchet, 100 precision ratcheting design and a 10% longer handle. Mark, you know why that's good.
Yeah, suddenly tools have become creepy. I'm not sure why.
Or the virtually unbreakable Husky flashlight, not 10% longer, but it has the ability to withstand a 30-foot drop and work in up to Oh, Smasher, you know this. 1 meter of water submersion.
Oh, yeah, Smasher.
Guaranteed for a lifetime, but built so you won't need it. Now, that's a pretty sure thing. Husky, that's common sense. Learn more at www.huskytools.com. Husky, common sense tools since 1924 with hand tools guaranteed for a lifetime. Found only at the
Dental Floss.
Home Depot.
I think Husky,
all right,
established in, you know, hashtag 24, would be excited that you have a friend named Smasher.
That's my boy, Smasher, behind the glass. All right, that's it for the Thanksgiving episode. I hope everyone enjoyed it. We'll be back Sunday night, our flagship program, where we will break down, okay, six teams played today. Six divided by two, three, two, six. Okay, so you take away the 32.
I'm lost.
13 games to talk about?
That's right.
No more buys, right?
That was a mess.
Is that right? The buys are over.
Another way to do it, just saying, it's all, you know, 16 yeah. games, you could just start there and then take away the three from today.
Everybody, one of the great things about the late season, like the buys have been removed from our lives.
Yeah.
So there's more games, and many involve teams that are far out of competition, far out of our lives. We get a lot of trash bags playing football games every Sunday. So indulge yourselves. Enjoy.
Very good. Mark, always a vocal advocate of the game. yes. Lindsay, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Are you working on some pecan pie back there? What's
no,
going on?
I'm eating a lifesaver.
Okay.
You're here at work for Thanksgiving.
What flavor? What flavor?
Wintergreen.
Did they feed you here?
Yeah, it was great. The food was really good.
It is a very
they
nice
have a good spread here.
It's a very nice
here.
Thanksgiving meal they offer.
Very good.
Getting ready to go shopping, though.
And Greg, you, well, Mark, you're a fooditarian, of course. What do you eat on Thanksgiving?
I literally, while I was home today covering the early game, I ordered Indian food yesterday, and it was too much to eat in full, so I just simply ate the leftovers. I don't...
Wow, very...
But
you
wait.
Ate leftover Indian food for Thanksgiving?
My family is up north. It was a sparse...
Wait, but here's
operation.
The thing. There's three separate meals today. I guess breakfast, you ate your normal breakfast or whatever.
No, I ate no breakfast.
So was the leftover Indian... That doesn't feel like... Three meals worth of food.
I don't eat three meals a day. I don't even know where that feels like.
I like
a 19,
how Mark says
like a 1955
like,
concept.
What is wrong with you, you pig?
No, it's like what kind of person still
three
sits down
meals.
And eats like three complete meals a day? Like I was at my house. I ate one meal. I ate like a little bit of Indian food in the middle of the day, dealing with like 2.5 football games that I could.
For a man very concerned with health matters in some aspects, this seems like a strange take.
I also listen on Thanksgiving. What can you do about food? Nothing. Nothing's open. You have to forge on.
You could have come up here and had the delicious food at.
Well, don't get it.
That's
going.
A bridge too far.
All right, that's it. Let's get out of here. What are we doing here?
I have no idea.
I'm gonna have some drinks with Smasher. Everyone else is invited. Stan Hansa is signing off for the Quiet Storm. And the old boss, Lindsay Fulton, behind the glass. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Till Sunday night.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.